that before they ever entered into the courtyard, the people were supposed to be ready to do what needs to be done. So on your way, you were getting ready. So really, when you plan on going to church, on your way from your house, you should be getting ready of what God wants to do in you. So then you'd enter into the driveway, and that would be the courtyard. And then there would be the temple. And the temple was built into two different areas. The temple had a holy place, and then it had the Holy of Holies. And there were priests that were ordained to take care of the temple. Well, today God does not, that's where God lived in the Old Testament, was in the temple. Wherever the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the Holy of Holies, wherever that Ark went, that's where God's power was. That's where God moved. Other than through prophets and others that spoke for Him, that is when He moved. And when the Ark of the Covenant was with, you remember when the Ark of the Covenant was stood right next to the god Dagon? He was a god they put up, and he was supposed to be a great and awesome god. And every time they came in the morning, Dagon tipped over, and the Ark of the Covenant was just fine. So basically they thought, well, we better get rid of the Ark of the Covenant because our God isn't matching up. So interestingly enough, so there's power in God's presence. So really, if we were to divide our church with this wall right here, let's just say that's the holy place. In there was a table that had bread on it. There was also a lampstand and an altar. But there was a table that had bread on it. And I find that interesting that God needed bread in the temple. If you remember in the scriptures, you'll see that God used Himself as the bread of life. Isn't that interesting? That God Himself, through Jesus Christ, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In other words, what Jesus brought to us needed to be in the tabernacle. Well, since the tabernacle of the old days of the Old Testament was all established, there was bread in there, and the Bible, let's just read it. Exodus chapter 25, let's just read real quick. Exodus chapter 25, verse 30, it says this. Put the bread of the presence on this table to be before me at all times. The bread was to be on that table, so guess what? They didn't have the preservatives we have today. So some of the priest's responsibility was to keep bread on that table. Okay? Just hang with me. You'll see where I'm going in just a minute. If it was that important to have natural bread in his temple in the Old Covenant in the tabernacle days, it is as equally important to have bread in the temple in the New Testament days. What is that bread? That bread is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when He is invited to live in His temple. Now, God doesn't live in this church. Aren't you glad of that? That you don't have to just come here and think that that's the only place that you can touch God. But you can touch God when He comes into His tabernacle, when He's in His tabernacle. And there's a reason why He wants to be in His tabernacle. Because when He's in His tabernacle and He's in His right place, everything around it begins to function like need be. When Jesus walked the earth and people had a need of healing, when they came to where Jesus was and Jesus was fulfilling His word, what took place? They got healed. They got set free. They got delivered. They got food multiplied. They had all the provisions of what took place because Jesus was the bread of life and is the bread of life, and He was fulfillment of what God wanted to do in the hearts and lives of people all across the world. So when God was bringing this bread to mankind, He wanted it to go further because Jesus could only be in one place at one time. So He began with 12. And then He began with the 70. And then the 120. And then literally thousands. And now we have people all across the world who have Jesus in their heart for a very specific reason. But that reason can't be fulfilled unless there's bread in His tabernacle. So what does that mean for us? If the Old Testament, let me read it again, put the bread of the presence on this table to be before me at all times. There was a reason why God wanted his presence or his bread, that bread to be in his presence at all time. If Jesus is the bread of life, he's the bread from heaven. The only way that that bread could ever be in the holy place where it was is because it was sacrificed to God. It was okay with God. It was bread without yeast. If you're familiar with yeast in the scriptures, you'll know that yeast had a connotation of sin. Remember, Jesus said, stay away from the yeast of the Pharisees. What does yeast do? When my mother-in-law cooks bread, she puts yeast in there. And under a certain amount of time, that dough will begin to rise and become fluffy or whatever. I don't know what the right word is. It raises, right? It raises. It just has the ability to raise it. So the bread that was in the tabernacle didn't have yeast in it. Neither should the bread that is in you and me have yeast in it. The bread that you and I need for everyday life is His Word, it's His life, it's His Spirit. And that cannot be contaminated where the yeast of sin, the yeast of life can come in and begin to explode it up so that we begin to raise ourselves up rather than the Spirit of God rising up inside of us and being able to pour out what needs to be given. So in other words, God told him to stay away from yeast. The bread that was made for communion was bread without yeast. It didn't have that rising active ingredient. And guess what? The Bible says in James chapter 1, sin has the ability to grow. Sin has the ability to grow and to mature and to become big and strong. I've said for years, when Jordan was little, I could hold him in my arms. I could make him do whatever he wants. If he were to walk in here today, I would say, yes, Jordan. I will do what you want. Why? Because he's big. He's strong. And he has the ability to make me say uncle. I've got a few tricks up my sleeve, but he can make me say uncle once in a while. But why is that? Because sin, when it's little, it's easy, it's fun to play with, and it doesn't really hurt you. But once it grows, like the yeast would cause the bread dough to rise and become bigger. I mean, when Carolyn brings bread out of the time it's raising, it started off small, and all the next thing is a big mound, and she punches it down, let it raise up again. But the yeast is what really causes the bread to rise, and it causes it to swell. It causes it to take up more room. And it's really not productive until the hands of the bread maker makes them into the rightful size. So really what you and I are is we are a containment or a container of God's presence. And what will hinder God from being able to do in me and you what he wants is yeast or sin. And God wants to remove the sin out of our lives so that he can begin to formulate into us everything that he desires, everything that he wants. Because the Holy Spirit is the active ingredient. Rather than sin, the Holy Spirit becomes the active ingredient inside of us that begins to shape and mold our lives so that we can become what God had in mind for our lives once we allow him to live in us. But until he's in us, we're just allowing the yeast of sin to rule and reign in our life, and our flesh blows up and our mind blows up and our pride grows up and every part of us grows up, and pretty soon we're so big that God just says, have your way, do what you want, I don't care. Because you're not going to give him any room anyway. But once we allow Jesus Christ to come into our life and we invite him in, we allow him to be the Lord and Master of my life, I begin to remove out of my life things that absolutely are of no value to God. I might think they're valuable, but God doesn't. That's a big difference right there. It's a big difference when you and I think something's valuable and God says, I don't need that. What do we need that for? Let's get rid of that. So that's where we have to deny our flesh, we deny our ways, we deny the things that we want, and we begin to pull out some things that don't need to be in my life, and then I allow the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to be the active ingredient that allows me to be built and shaped and molded for the purpose of which God has. So I become that container, I become that tabernacle that has an outer court, a holy place, and a holy of holies. I have an area in my life where I just function in outside the temple, but when it comes time to really hearing and knowing God, I get into that holy place where I say, Lord, I need to hear your voice. I want to know what you think. I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. So I eliminate everything so I can get into that holy place and I can really know the experience, the power of God. And if that doesn't happen, then you can just allow yourself just to function in the everyday, ordinary desires of everyday life. But I tell you what, if we don't allow God to have His way with His Holy Spirit, the yeast will have its way and we'll begin to bloom again for sin. We'll begin to swell up with sin and ideas that are not godly. Why? Because I did not train myself. I did not formulate my thoughts and my words and my actions all according to the book, which is driven by the Holy Spirit and allows me to be that tabernacle where God can dwell with His presence and do whatever needs to be done anytime, any place, anywhere. And that's what I pray for myself and I pray for you today. Is that you and I allow the Holy Spirit, that we become that place where there's enough bread inside of me that when someone needs it, I can break off a piece and hand it to them. Does that make sense? How about the rest of you? Oh, just checking. You know not everybody answers at the same time. I know that. So turn over to John chapter 6. Probably a very familiar passage. But boy, I tell you, this is becoming way more important for us to know and to understand. Verse 25, John chapter 6. If it's hot in here, somebody want to open a window? Is anybody hot or is it just me? We got a couple. There's a fan in the back you can turn on if you guys want to move some air back there. But John chapter 6. Beginning with verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, but not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, and it was written, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at that last day. at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. And they said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me, and no one who has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give you for the life of the world. The Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves, and how can this man give us flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat this flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue. On hearing this, many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware of his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. And the words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word has the ability to transform our lives this morning. We pray that it has the potential and the power and the freedom to do in each one of us what needs to be done this day so that we can walk out of here with continued bread from the throne room of heaven today that will be able to be given out as we visit with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus came to his disciples, and he had a following because he fed them. You know, anytime you feed somebody, usually people follow. But I find it interesting, he says, they asked him, what must we do the works of God requires in verse 28? And Jesus said, the works of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Now that sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? To believe in the one he has sent. Well, that's a good beginning, but that's not the complete walk. You and I know throughout Scripture that when God sent his son Jesus to show people that he was the way, he not only taught them that he was the way, but he showed them how to live. He taught them how to follow. He didn't tell his disciples, well, just believe in me and then we'll be okay. No, he said, believe and then begin to follow. Follow what's going on. Learn to walk with me. Learn to talk with me. Learn to do what I do so that you too, when I leave, can begin to do what needs to be done in this world. You see, we're not here by chance. We're not here by just a fluke deal. We're here by design. You live where you live right now for a reason and for a season that God has for you. And part of that season is for you to become this tabernacle that God dwells in, so that out of that you can have bread to give to those who are outside the tabernacle of you. Does that make sense? God doesn't live in church, so if you bring somebody to church, they may not find what you can give them because you have it within you. The old adage was, well, if we just get them to church, just get them to church. No! Tell about Jesus outside the church, because if they come to church and they aren't going to understand, well, why do we sing so long? Why do we pray so long? Why does he preach forever? Why? Because they're not of the same spirit as God. They need to be born again. They need to be set free and free of this life of the world, so that they can begin to understand, well, this is what God teaches. This is what's in God's Word. I understand that. That makes sense now. It'd be like taking us, all of us, over to Norway and sitting in a church where none of us know Norwegian or Swede or any of that. We'd sit there and say, well, what are they doing now? What did they say? Did you understand anything they said, Howard? Oofta. Oofta, maybe. Yeah. But you see, that's the way the world, when you invite the world to church, they're going, and we do this for what? Yeah. So the reality is that God wants you and I, His temple, to get so much of the living bread inside of us that when I go and I visit with them in everyday life, I begin to break the bread and I give them morsels of truth. I give them morsels. I don't, you know, if I ask Dan over for mashed potatoes and gravy, I don't take a 50-pound sack and say, here you go, mashed potatoes. I know it doesn't look like it, but it's really good. I don't give him that. No, I give him a portion of the sack of which I had potatoes in. I get it all mixed up and I get it all ready and I serve him a portion of the 50-pound sack of potatoes that I had. So the reality is that what God wants you and I to do as a temple, as a place where He dwells, He wants us to take portions of His bread, and He wants me to break off a piece of it and give it to those that need it. He doesn't expect us to give them the whole load. They don't need the whole load. They wouldn't know what to do with that much. So the Lord teaches us how to lay out this bread of life. And when Jesus came to the disciples, He says, I am the bread of life. He who believes in me will never go hungry. Why is that? Because once Jesus was designed to be inside of me, there's a continuation of growing and maturing and feeding that happens in my life, so that I have so much that I can lay out to those that come around me. It wasn't just meant for me. It's not meant for you to contain this and not give it away. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be laid out. It's meant to be given away. Why? Because that's how Jesus touches the world. And if you and I aren't going to do it, what are we doing this for? Let's go home. If we're not going to do this, let's just go home. Let's go do something fun. You ever been to anything boring? Couldn't wait to get out of there. A lot of people go to church that way. Why? Because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't mean anything. In fact, it doesn't even touch your life. The reason why is because of this. It doesn't make any sense. We need to pray that long for what? Well, doesn't God know what I need to need before I ever ask it? So why should I have to ask so much? You see, when we don't understand what God's saying, we get this mentality of why are we doing this? But the reality is that when you realize that God has designed you and me to be this tabernacle that inhabits His praises, that when God's presence moves, I move, I speak, I do whatever He wants. Why? Because I love Him. I designed by Him. I'm doing what I was created to do. And when that happens, there's a joy and a satisfaction inside of me that grows so big that my flesh doesn't have a chance to take over. But if I don't allow Him the privilege and the time to get His bread inside of me, where I have morsels to give away and I have truths to give away. Why? Because I understand it. When I read it, I got something out of it, Lyle.
Yeah.
Woohoo! But the reality is that many people, when they read the Word of God, they're kind of like, don't quit. Just ask the Holy Spirit to come and say, Lord, unveil. Ask the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit's job to unveil His Word. He peels it back like an onion. Every time you peel it back, it's got the power and the potential to change your eyes. Yeah, you'll be crying. Because onions have a way of doing that to us, doesn't it? You act like a big ball baby. Cutting up an onion. Yeah, why? I don't know, because it has potential to change you. That's the same way God's Word is. No matter how many times you read it, it has the potential to change and transform me so I can see something I couldn't see before. All because I've got these morsels, I've got this bread of life inside of me, and once I've got the bread of life inside of me, now I can lay out pieces. Every time Jesus broke bread with His disciples, He didn't take the whole loaf and say, here, eat it up, boys. No, He broke it, and then He handed it in morsels that they could take. That's what our job is. We are to become this habitation that God can live in, and that when God comes and moves inside of me, I don't say, no, Lord, can't you see I'm busy? I have a lot to do. Well, guess what's going to happen? Not much. Why? Because God didn't design me to be so busy with this life that I can't fulfill my purpose of what He designed me for. Does that make sense in the back? Huh? I can't hear you. Oh, good. Turn me up. So, if you think about it, if you don't have this inside of you, what are you going to give them? Oh yeah, you got something to give. A bunch of you. And will you, if you and I need God, how in the world are we ever going to give us to somebody else and expect them to get help? You see, I can't give myself to Chandler and expect him to get help if it's just my wisdom. Yeah, there's wisdom in my natural understanding for lots of things. But when it comes to spiritual, when it comes to design, when it comes to what God had in mind, if I don't give Him what God's given me, then I'm giving Him just me, and I'm not that good. You probably already know that. Don't say anything. So the reality is that God wants to do something inside of me so much that what I offer is pieces of this bread of life that now lives in me. And if I believe in Jesus, you know, that's the greatest thing you hear. Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, let's see it. If you believe in Jesus, it should be so obvious that you believe in Him. It should be obvious in your conversation. It should be obvious in your behavior. It should be obvious in where you go and what you do. Amen. That you shouldn't have to tell me you're a believer. And if you have to tell me you're a believer, pretty good chance I'm going to not believe what you say. Because I'm going to watch what you do. And in watching what you do, I will be able to determine who you serve. The Bible says a child is known by their actions. If you see somebody hiding and standing in a corner as a child, Jeff, where are you? I don't know. How come you're hiding? Because I want to. What's wrong? Nothing. No, there's something wrong. When a child runs and has filled his drawers with stuff that you and I just don't desire to smell, there is something wrong. They know something's up. Why? Because they're hiding. The reality is that God didn't ask us to hide with what we know. He asked us to be ready to break off what we know and begin to hand that out and hand that out and hand that out. And not just to everybody. Do not throw your pearls before the swine. Oh boy, we don't want to, we better not go there. I don't go and just preach to anybody. I wait for God to line things up. I don't go and manipulate God and say, hey, guess what, God? I'm going to town and I hope you're riding with. No. You say, Lord, where do you want me to go and how do you want me to get there? Because I want to do what you want today. I want you to drive my life. I don't want to drive my life. I want you to drive my life. Why? Because when you drive, we get there. We get done and we get accomplished what needs to be done. Why? Because Jesus is the bread of life. And guess what? God has already lined up my day and your day. When I wake up out of bed, He's already got things He's got planned that He needs done because of the Spirit of God that lives in me. The bread of life that is in me is meant to be given away throughout the process of that day. But if I'm too busy, how in the world am I ever going to give His bread away? So when I wake up in the morning, and then we just say, okay, Lord, where are we going today? And He begins to line things up. He begins to do things and He begins to bring people across your path or whatever the case might be. And all of a sudden you just begin to break off little pieces and say, I know that's God. I can give them a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And why do I do that? Because that's a part of God's design. That's a part of God's plan. That's exactly what God wants. I want people to see what God can do through me, not what I can do through me. When you and I become so full of the bread of life, then we can worship. Does that make sense? I get so much of Him inside of me that you can't recognize who I am. That I don't look like I used to. I don't talk like I used to. I don't smell like I used to. Just kidding. just seeing if you're awake. Did you get that? But I do things different. Why? Because I'm not letting myself rule and reign my life. I'm allowing the Spirit of God to be so big in the bread of life so much in me, which is His Word, which is His Spirit, which is the very things that we need in our everyday life, so that I can begin once again, I'm going to give you this over and over, I can begin and run into Dwayne Hoffman and I can break off a morsel and I can hand it to him. And if he's a believer, he can break off a morsel and give it to me. Isn't that cool? And in doing that, that day, because God lined it up, we begin to build each other. We build the kingdom. We build each other up so that we stand strong when things come our way. And so why does Jesus want to be the bread of life? And he who believes in him shall never go hungry again, because out of the bread of life, there's a massive loaf of food that God has that he wants me to continually give away. And every time I give some away, he just keeps on adding more to me, because he never runs dry. He never will be hungry. Why? Because he's a constant filling. He's a constant buffet. If I could say it. He's a constant buffet that you can go and belly up to the bar. Well, that's probably not the best way to say that. Sorry about that. You can belly up to the buffet. Help me, Lord. I'm digging deep. You can belly up to the buffet. Oh, forgive me, Lord. Ufta. Fida. And all the other ones you can say. But you can belly up to the buffet and you can just receive what you need for that day. Receive everything you need that day. That's why God needs you. That's why He promises to be the bread of life. I want to make one note of one more scripture and then I'm done. Look at verse, in John chapter 6, look at verse 63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Do you know that no matter how nice you are, that your goodness will never be good enough for God to say, that's okay? I accept that. You can have the kindest. My grandpa Capel was one of the nicest men around. And yet at the age of 80 years old, he finally saw that he needed a Savior. All his goodness would have never, ever gotten him to heaven. So the reality is that being good is great. But if it's in the flesh, it counts for nothing. I didn't say it, he did. Take it up with him. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. God loves to give you and I life. He's provided this bread of life to live inside of us so that we can have a continual feasting at the buffet of the Spirit. And out of the buffet of the Spirit, He's going to give you things that you need to pass on to someone else. And as you do that, you're going to make a difference in their life. Let's all stand and pray. Lord, I would just ask that you would speak clearly to each and every one as you have been throughout the morning. I pray that the Word of God produces in each and every one of us what it was intended for today. And Lord, I pray that as you speak to each and every one, as you speak to us, that the Holy Spirit will help us to come to that place of being so full of the bread of life that we recognize more every day the people that are put in our path for a reason. And Lord, what a privilege and a joy it is to be able to hand out the morsels of life, the bread of life, so that others can have just a touch of who you are. Others can have an encouraging word of who you are. Others can be built up with who you are. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be more aware than ever before of how you want to use the bread of life in our life. And Lord, I'm very thankful that you love us enough to give us more than enough to hand away. But Lord, we know that we have to keep the yeast out, because the yeast will contaminate that which is good. Lord, if there's yeast in our lives today, sin, that needs to be removed from our life, I thank you that the Holy Spirit will convict us. And we can confess, and we can have that under the blood, and never have to deal with it again. It can be under the blood, and we can just say, no more, you're not going to have your way in me. Because I'm going to let the Spirit of God do in me what needs to be done. So, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have once again just to hear your voice, to know who you are and know what your heartbeat is today. And as each one of us goes from this place, I pray that we'll be ready to hand out the morsels of the bread of life that lives within us so that we can touch this world with what we do and what we say. We ask this all in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If anybody wants prayer, be glad to pray with you. Otherwise, enjoy each other's company as you did earlier and be a blessing as you go, okay? Have a great day.